calling all the way from Cincinnati. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Dr. Sherman. I'm going to do the toxic and essential minerals post-test and from Meridian Valley Lab. And I'd like to know how much DMSA and EDTA that you take before you do the test.
Are you doing this on your own?
Yes. And then I'm going to have a doctor look over the results and give me advice.
Okay. Well, normally, just for the other folks that may be considering this, normally what we recommend is an IV, which is much more standardized, using EDTA and something called DMPS. Normally, DMSA is not used, only because they found that it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier very effectively. It definitely is more convenient because it can be taken orally. But one thing I have seen with other folks using that is the results are much, much less than what you would expect from the IV challenge.
Right.
So it's a little bit more difficult. But knowing that, normally, how much do you weigh?
130 pounds.
So for DMSA, normally we recommend 500 milligrams every 8 hours for that 24-hour period.
Okay.
And EDTA is... you know, I wouldn't even bother taking an oral dose of that, only because it's been shown to go right through the digestive tract, not getting absorbed. You know, probably 80% of it is going to go right through you. So that is especially difficult to absorb. There are some rectal suppositories that you could do with EDTA, but again, it's not as well standardized as the IV challenge.
Uh-huh. Okay, so for the toxic and essential minerals test, you think it would be best to collect the urine for 24 hours versus just do it for 6 hours or 12 hours?
Using the oral DMSA, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you could do it that way. It might be a little more indicative of what's in the deeper tissues, but again, it's going to be iffy. I would not trust the results myself, only because, like I've seen a lot of patients who, you know, they did the DMSA first, and then later on we did another IV challenge, and it showed up a lot more, despite having gone through several you know, treatments to remove the heavy metals.
Well, I know that this might not be the best thing to do out there, but I've already paid for the kit and I'd like to go ahead and like do it.
Sure.
So, you think the best strategy would be, given that, you know, this is maybe not something you'd really recommend, but anyway, I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
To collect the urine for 24 hours or 6 hours or 12 hours, or what would you recommend?
I would probably do 24 hours, and that might give you a better, you know, indication, especially if you're doing the oral dosing every 8 hours for the 24 hours. That would make sense.
Okay, 500 milligrams DMSA every 8 hours for the whole 24-hour.
For 24 hours, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I have one other quick question.
Sure.
If you know the answer, the parathyroid gland, there's a blood test for it. It's called PTH intact. And anyway, I know a lot of times in older people, the parathyroid gland can get calcified or be a little high outside the range.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just wondering, if somebody's an older person or they're not really older person, middle-aged person, and they have osteoporosis, how often do you think that the blood test should be run just to make sure you're not missing parathyroid kind of problems?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I would, well, looking at, you know, quite a number of blood tests through the years, typically what triggers a parathyroid hormone test would be high blood calcium on a standard, you know, comprehensive serum panel. If the calcium levels are high or close to high normal, then I would look at that first, because that typically means your parathyroid could be malfunctioning. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, the functional medicine doctor, she ordered it for my dad, and his was just a little high, a little outside the range. Uh-huh. And his serum calcium has been running low now for, I don't know, 6 months or a year or more. Oh. So she was saying, you know, you need to increase your vitamin D a little bit and get some vitamin D that also has the K2 mixed in with it, and increase your vitamin D, even though it's in the normal range, it still could go up some without being an issue. So you wouldn't really want to have your parathyroid gland beyond the normal range, right?
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know why she ran the test, but she just did, and then she noticed it. And then my mom, she ran the test, and it was in the normal range, but she said she kind of liked it to be like 30 or below, and her number was definitely above the 30 by a fair amount. And and her calcium was not high either. It was normal. It wasn't low, on the low side like my dad's. But anyway, so there was another instance where, for some reason, that situation was kind of caught. And I just thought, well, maybe that's something that should be run like maybe once a year or every year or two or something, just to try to catch, because you're not always catching it with high calcium, at least not in these two situations.
Right. Well, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, one of the things to worry about in a case like that would be osteoporosis for both of them. And, of course, it's more than just calcium being lost. It's a lot of different minerals. And have either of them had a DEXA scan to look at the bone density?
They both had it, and my mom, she has osteoporosis, and my dad does not have it. But uh-huh. I mean, he wasn't super far away from having it, but he doesn't have osteopenia or osteoporosis. But
okay,
but you know, but I just kind of thought, well, if someone does have osteoporosis, and maybe they're even younger, and their range, I mean, their test was fine, you know, it was definitely below the 30 number that was her goal. Mm-hmm. But that was like in 2017 or something. Well, should that kind of be run maybe every year or two, just to try to make sure you're not missing something?
Well, for them, I think you're right. I would probably run it at least once a year for a couple years and just try and monitor it. Remember, the parathyroid glands are actually embedded in the thyroid. Now, are either of them taking thyroid or have low functioning thyroid? Or
yes, my mom has low functioning thyroid, and she takes thyroid medicine. And my dad, he doesn't measure out having hypothyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
But according to a lot of the other experts, he would be what you'd call subclinical hypothyroid. But, you know,
yeah,
you can't seem to get her to address that at this point. So,
my point is, they could be correlating a little bit because of, you know, poor circulation through that area, through the gland itself. But one thing I would definitely put your mother on would be a product called Osteomins. Mm-hmm. We carry that at the dispensary, but that has been a really successful osteoporosis formula. And, you know, just for our other listeners who may not be aware of parathyroid function, it typically the parathyroid regulates that calcium level in the bloodstream. So the higher the parathyroid hormone, the higher the calcium in the bloodstream, and the parathyroid actually stimulates calcium loss out of the bone to supply that to the bloodstream. So over time, it can definitely deplete your bones, and it requires more than just vitamin D. It requires all kinds of trace minerals, calcium, magnesium, and So take a look at the Osteomin formula, the AM and PM, and I think that might be worthwhile for her.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your information.
All right. Appreciate the call.